This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench. Outdoor America is brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Now, here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
Welcome back to Outdoor America. It has been another great, great week in the Ozarks. And of course, you know, it's prime time, deer hunting time. And I've got a guest this week that has done something I think that a lot of, I don't know of anybody that's ever done what he's done, honestly, but good friend of mine. I got to know him real well fishing, you know, he fished in PFL and I got to work with him a little bit, but he's a big deer hunter. And he's also, like I said, done something I've never heard anyone in the world ever do before. But without further ado, welcome to the show, Randy Cookrell.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tommy. I'm really excited to kind of sit down and catch up with you. I know it's been a little while. I know we did a lot of, you know, I guess traveling kind of together with the NPFL, and that was a great time. And it was a pleasure meeting you there. And I know we keep talking about doing these deer hunts together. Are we ever going to make it happen or what?
Yeah, man. I can't wait, dude. I'm pumped, man. I'm really pumped to get up there. It's so funny to see what you've done over the last 3 years, remembering back 3 years ago when you're like, man, you ought to come up to Ohio and hunt with me, you know, be able to put you on a true giant. And I was excited then. I really was. I just never took the initiative to like make it happen, you know, just like say, hey, man, let's get something in the books and get up there. Now you got me like, this is like a dream, like dream come true to see what you're doing and to think about having the opportunity to not be able to just witness some of the deer that you're seeing. I mean, just to give you a little explanation, folks, Randy has harvested a 200 inch deer, a 200 plus inch deer, not once or twice or even three times in his life, but 3 years in a row, back to back to back years. So Randy, let's just start with, you know, year one, like when you first went after that first 200 inch deer. And, man, first of all, congratulations, man. Like I said, I don't know anyone in the world that's ever done this. It's absolutely phenomenal that you've done this. But let's go back and see how this journey all started with going after these 200-inch mega bucks.
Man, I think this whole journey kind of started when it we were in the weigh-in lines at Grand Lake in Oklahoma. And I think, Tommy, if you can remember, I was literally, you know, going through the pump station and showing you these giant deer walking past my camera. you know, that week. And I think that's kind of what started the whole, you know, deer conversation between you and I. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Oh, I do. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of where it all started, but, you know, between you and I talking hunting. But I think, you know, I think I'm going to take it all the way back to 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
I ended up getting a property right down, you know, not very far from where I grew up. And it actually, I knew it was always known for, you know, big deer in the area and whatnot. And I seen a couple big ones, you know, just driving by a few times, you know, hitting this huge scrape down in the on this little like creek bottom. And you could like literally see it off the road. And like every time I went by, there was always a deer standing there. So, like, you know what? I need to go in and I need to actually, you know, just see what this, you know, this spot's all about. So I ended up going in there. I ended up putting up a ground blind and a camera on this scrape. And it was more or less just one of those spots that, was going to be just kind of like, I don't know, just take a friend or something like that, you know? And like, I didn't really think anything of it. Well, anyway, fast forward a little bit to maybe like a month later, I finally, you know, went and I sat in this spot. And it was a morning, cold morning, got in this blind and a buddy of mine was in town. We just kind of went just like kind of something to do, hang out, get in there, pull the card. And it wasn't even a cell camera. We get in there and pull the card and we can't believe what's on this thing. I mean, there is literally multiple, there's 3-4 deer in there that are hitting the scrape that are absolute units. And we kind of just had to, we didn't know what to do. The one deer that really stuck out to me, though, I mean, there was some 150, 160 inch deer, but one that stuck out to me was this one. It literally looked like the size of a dog, and it had this huge rack, and it looked like maybe a 2.5, maybe a 3.5 year old, but tons of little like stickers and junk kind of sticking off of him. And
right,
that deer stuck out to me. And I'm like, man, imagine if that deer like got bigger. And at this point, I think he's like 150, he might have been 160 at the time. And It really just kind of like stuck out to me. And I'm like, man, that'd be awesome. So like that deer was kind of like, we ended up seeing him a couple times that season. And we ended up giving him a hall pass. We had another deer. We ended up over time calling him Captain Hook. And then another one was, man, I think we were calling him Daggers. He had these huge brow tines. That's what stuck out with him. He was a big mainframe 8. Probably again a 3.5 year old that looked really good.
Yeah.
So going through that was, man, I think that was 2018. I think that's where it was, 2018. So get into, you know, 2019. No, that was 2019. I'm sorry. So 2019, we ended up kind of letting all these deer just kind of go. There's one that we really would have liked to hunt, but we didn't. So we get into 2020, and at this point, that Daggers, he's blowing up. Captain Hook, he's even bigger. He's got this huge hook on off the base of his, you know, right off his base on his right side. So we're all kind of like targeting these deer, and I got a buddy that I hunt this property with. And so it got into like November, and he ended up taking a shot and put an actual good shot on this deer on Daggers. You know, he's a 4.5 year old and
right.
He was probably in the 160s at that point, and he ended up pushing out to a 10 point. So he ended up putting a shot on that deer, and then it just wasn't fatal. We don't know what happened. Totally a clean pass through, and that deer ended up surviving somehow. So we ended up kind of getting more photos of him a few weeks later. And then finally, I told my buddy, I'm like, dude, you got to go finish this deer. Well, with his schedule and whatnot, he didn't have an opportunity to. I said, well, if you're not gonna, I'm going to go finish him off.
Right.
So went in there, I get in, and I'm, you know, it's, you know, an evening hunt, got a little snow on the ground, and this deer, I look up and here he comes right over the ridge. I'm right on top of this oak ridge, and he's coming right over this hill. Comes right into me, and the wind was in his favor. It's blowing right up his nose, and he gets to about 40 yards and locks up, and he's about to get out of there. So he takes a right. He's getting ready to, you know, skirt out of there, and luckily he presented me with a perfect shot. I ended up shooting him probably 38 yards, I think it was, if I can remember. And that was that. I mean, it was just the snow on the ground. It was
easy track.
Sight to see. Let's put it that way. We're going to keep it PG, but you know, it was a sight to see. So ended up, you know, I got down out of my stand. I actually, as soon as my foot hit the ground, it crunched. And then I heard this deer break out of there. And it was like, he was like 100 yards away from me at the time. I literally thought he went down. Well, he got up and booked out of there. And I was like, son of a gun. And then, so I got out of there the next morning. I came back. He's laying, you know, we tracked him. He ended up doubling back right underneath my stand and laying in a creek. And, I ended up walking up to this deer and I literally was in, I was like in disbelief because I thought I shot the deer my buddy had, you know, shot earlier in the season. Well, it was a completely different deer.
And oh, wow.
They were literally almost a spitting image, identical, huge brows, same frame. They had to have been twins, man. I'm not even kidding you. It was like one of those things. And I was like, I was kind of upset about it, but at the same time, I was excited. I'm 152 inch, 8 point, which it was a stud.
Yeah.
You know, I thought
that's a stud.
I saw the brows coming through and, I just thought, I was like, all right, for sure. You know, that's him. I didn't even, you know, think about it twice. There's no other deer that looked like that around there. And, I went up to him and it wasn't him. So the deer that I was after ended up showing up a few more times. And then, you know, we get into December. He dropped his rack right around Christmas time. I think I got the last photo of him around like the 3rd of January when he was dropped, and we never got a photo of him after that. So I think maybe, you know, I don't know what happened. Infection most likely just kind of set in and took him out. It's unfortunate, but, that season was kind of like the season that kind of really got things going over there. I started focusing on that block and we were really, babying that deer and keeping him close, keeping him healthy and like feeding him up. And that deer, obviously when we first saw him, went from, you know, say that 160. And then as we got into the season of 2020, I would have had a hard time passing him up. I never had the opportunity at him, but he was in the 180 class. And yeah, I never had an opportunity. I'm glad I didn't. Let's put it that way. Because I'm going to pass up that deer. But again, just short face, short nose, little teeny body, and this huge rack. And to kind of paint the picture of this area, you know, there's you know, some big woods around there. There's some big timber. There's some sanctuaries where no one can really get into. And that's where these deer are really, you know, that's what made this spot so special, is there was not a lot of hunting pressure around, like in this area. Now around this area there was a lot of hunting pressure, but it gave these deer an opportunity to really grow. So, he ended up, you know, we watched him. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, is it the buck doe ratio lopsided, or do you have a lot of does? But you know, we'll talk more about that. You know, think about that, Randy. We'll come right back in just a few minutes to talk more about, you know, how that went down. You know, like you said, he's growing, getting bigger. You know, this is what an amazing story it is already just unfolding. But hey, folks, we got to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with more with the trifecta 200 inch whitetails with Randy Kukroff. We'll be right back on Outdoor America.
You're listening to Outdoor America, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. More with Tommy Bench after this. You're listening to Outdoor America. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
We are back with Randy Cuckrall, with the only person I know of in the world that's ever harvested 3 200-inch whitetails back-to-back-to-back years. What a phenomenal feat that is. That's something, you know, that most people will never encounter, one 200-inch deer in their lifetime, let alone be able to harvest that animal. But, you know, three in a row, that is amazing, Randy. What an amazing amazing story this is. So getting back to, you know, you start back in 2019 with $3 or $4. You know, you talk about your buddy that shot the one. Good shot for some reason or another. Them animals are resilient and tough. It's absolutely amazing how much they can go through and still survive. But, you know, you had that one that you could tell was a young deer, small body, but man, had some mass, had some very, very good potential. Now, fast forward, he's a 180, you know, so go ahead and go through that with what's going on now, because I kind of get where this is going. I'm getting a vibe. This is going to be the first 200 right here.
You know, so as we're getting really into it, and again, we're, you know, so that deer, the last story you kind of heard was, you know, that was 2020 harvest. And then as we're getting into this, you know, in 2020, this deer ended up being a, you know, 180 inch deer easily all day long. You know, I probably should have spent a lot more time, you know, at the end of 2020, you know, looking for sheds. I spent a little bit of time, but getting into 2021, I knew that there was a deer that was going to be worth chasing over there. And I knew if he made it, it was game on. Kind of give you a little like history on like, you know, the beginning of the, I guess, end of 2020 season. We're in probably January, February. Fishing season's kind of starting. You know, we're getting ready to travel at the MPFL. And I kind of just kind of laid off the deer hunting thing. Didn't do much shed hunting. And I didn't realize until about April when I went and pulled this camera that stopped transmitting photos. I was using a cell cam. I didn't realize it, but somebody literally walked in front of my camera. I'd have to look back. I think it was like 1st of March. With one side of this deer in their hand. So they got 180 inch shed in one hand. I think I was chasing a unicorn at that point. Well, literally, because there was one side still out there, and it must have just been covered with snow where I was looking, because literally I ended up hearing that the other side was recovered by like a, you know, a young kid with his grandpa walking through the woods. And I covered this area with a fine tooth comb. There's no way I didn't see it. And anyway, I think it was just covered with a little bit of snow. I remember.
So is this public ground?
No. This is just. Oh. You know, anyway, I really looked and there was just like little bedding area that he was able to get into, and no one was able to really hunt that area. So gotcha. Anyway, as we that happens, you know, and then we're into the fishing season. I've got cameras rolling all year now. I think from July on, while he was developing, I literally had photos of this deer religiously. It was like clockwork. I knew exactly his every move at that point. I think I was running, from what I remember, like 18 cell cameras on this property, between a couple properties that I had, you know, access on. And we ended up, this was the grind, man. This is what really fueled my fire. And I knew that he was going to be a special deer. And I was thinking he was probably pushing that 200 inch mark, you know, but conservatively thinking, I'm like, man, if he's 190, I'm happy. Like, he's an absolute star. So, so we're following him, we're watching him. And then, you know, I really don't get going on that early season hunting. I used to not, now I do, but, I wasn't really out there, you know, chasing him really hard. And I think that's what gave me, you know, the opportunity, you know, when I did ended up, you know, encountering him, is cause I wasn't out there pressuring him. I was letting the cameras do the work. And, that's how I do it usually. I mean, even up till now, but it was a crazy season, man. We ended up, you know, going, and I had two pieces of permission on one on each side of this big, you know, block of woods that I call the sanctuary. And we ended up, I'm going to take you back. Basically, I'm just going to get into it. Like, the day I ended up harvesting him is, you know, there was a lot that went into this thing. I mean, I've had food plots. There's these big oak ridges with mineral sites all summer long. And, you know, I had a couple stands set up around them, and we ended up, I got on into this stand one morning. I ended up getting my daughter to school. And as soon as I dropped her off, I went and jumped into my stand. Now, that night before, my phone was just going off all night. He was literally covering so much ground. He'd go hit one scrape, go a half a mile, hit another scrape 15 minutes, double back 20 minutes later to that original scrape. I mean, he was literally running a mile and a half of ground. And
wow.
And literally, and he did this for a few nights in a row. He was just playing like cat and mouse, figuring out where he was going to go to bed. And I think it was like November, beginning of November. I mean, it was full. The rut was just really firing up.
Yeah.
And anyway, so November 4th, I ended up getting in my stand after dropped my daughter off. And I'm sitting there, and I'm hitting the horns together a couple times. I mean, I'm just seeing buck after buck after buck. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, man, this could be the morning. It was a perfect cold morning, a little bit of frost. So I was hoping that late movement. And next thing you know, I get a picture on my phone gets sent to me. And he's right behind a doe going up into his bedding area where I called his bedroom. And I did not have access into there. So I was like, all right, I'm out. I know he's not coming back through here. We need to regroup. I'm like, you know what? It's going to be a long shot, but I'm going to go and I'm going to try to get permission in his bedroom. So I did. I went over and I knocked on the door and no answer on the door. I came back like an hour later. Lady answers the door and she's like, yeah, I'm sorry. We don't allow, allow hunting here. I said, well, I don't need to hunt here. I said, I've got permission, next to you. I just need to be able to get in through here. And she said, no, I'm sorry, we don't allow that. I'll have my husband call you. Well, long story short, he never did reach back out to me. But,
of course,
one of those deals. But, so at that point, I'm like a little discouraged. Like, man, we got to get closer to this deer. He wasn't coming really into my area where I could, have an opportunity at him until about, 6:20, 6:30. So what I ended up doing, I ended up going home, got showered up, and I was walking out to my truck and I was like, you know what? I'm going to grab my climber. So I run a Summit Viper. I've been running them for years. And I grabbed this climber, throw it in the back of my truck. I'm like, maybe, I don't know. We'll see if I feel it, but I'm going to have it as an option. I end up grabbing my climber and going in and to paint the picture is really these deer, they come up, through this oak, there's like a bunch of oaks and then it kind of comes up this ridge. And as they come up this ridge, they'll stage like right on that hillside or down at that bottom. And they normally wouldn't come up to my plot or mineral site until dark. And as I was hunting that, week prior to this night, I'd get stuck in my stand till like 8:30 because there would be like 10 deer
everywhere.
And I literally couldn't get out. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, it got to the point, I was like, all right, I cannot keep doing this, So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go in a little bit farther. So I went in, I think I went about, 50, 80 yards. Something like that. Down to that little, the bottom there where they'd get hung up. And I threw my climber up, threw this thing up, got in the stand. As soon as I'm up, I just had little bucks kind of running back and forth. I'm like, all right, it's on. It's a perfect night. I'll see what happens. I texted my buddy. I said, I'm going to tell you, if I do not see this deer hit these cameras coming out of that bedding area by 6:20, I'm out of here. I'm not going to end up probably shooting this deer. I want to get out before I get too much pressure on me. So that was really that, but, we're about to get into it.
Well, yeah, it's about to go down, folks. We're about to see how this all unfolds here when we come right back to Outdoor America.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Boatworks, performance specialists. More with Tommy Bench after this. You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
We are back with the old 200-inch whitetail trifecta, Randy Kukrow, man. Welcome back, Randy. And get back into that story, man. It's about to go down.
About to go down. Absolutely. So, like I was saying, I said it by 6:20, I text my buddy, if this deer does not come through this pinch past these cell cameras, I'm out of here, because I didn't want to get hung up in there. I'm sitting there and 6:20 rolls around. I'm like, well, I got to get out of here. I literally text my buddy. I'm like, he didn't come through. I'm getting out. I look up between a V of a tree and at about 60 yards out, probably, this deer is literally staring right through me. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I'm not prepared for that at all. Bow's hung up, everything. Sitting there, he's looking up. He's looking right through me. And at the time, I'm thinking he's looking right at me. Really, he's looking at a couple does that are behind me up on that ridge. Long story short, he ended up taking a couple steps, putting himself behind a tree, and I kind of reached up to grab my bow. And then he kind of locked up for a minute. I'm like, man, this ain't good. Your heart's pounding. All the emotions are going on. This deer's standing within probably 50 yards of me now, head behind a tree. I'm like, if this thing literally takes, if he puts his head down and starts walking again, I'm literally doing everything I possibly can to stop this deer and, you know, get him on the ground. So there, he takes a couple more steps. He gets behind the next tree. I literally get my bow down. He's walking. He comes in, and he comes into about 25 yards, if I had to guess. And I literally just give him a brat, brat, stop him, smoke him right through the backside shoulder. And he piled up within, man, he ran probably 10 yards, did the kind of the side step, went up on his hind legs. And I just remember him standing up on his hind legs and falling straight backwards into this log. And I didn't know what to think. I'm like, are you kidding me? We just killed an absolute unit of a deer. And literally as soon as I did, I called my dad. I'm like, Dad, you're not going to believe this. You got to get down here. And he was all jacked up. He's like, all right, I'll be there in 10 minutes, you know? So he gets over running across this field to come see it. And it was just an amazing, you know, experience. And, you know, to be able to put yourself in front of a deer of that caliber is just something that, you know, it's just not something you know, see every day, every year, every life.
Nope. It's something that most people will never experience, maybe once in their life, just having a glimpse of one, but let alone having the patterned and harvest this deer.
Yeah, it really was. It was a deer of a lifetime. So, you know, I'm going to kind of jump into the, you know, the next season, cause it gets even crazier. Yeah. It's like 3 weeks after this, you know, and I'm all jacked up. We just shot a 210 and 7/8 inch, you know, freak.
Yeah.
Just leaving a big meeting for a snow plowing account. I do some landscape and snow plowing here, you know, back in Ohio, and just leaving a big meeting, and I leave, and I'm on the phone with the old man, and I'm talking to him about something, and I look over, and I believe it was the 28th or 29th of November now. And I look over, and this deer is, there's a doe like kind of walking up this snowy ridge, and right behind her is this absolute giant with this huge, like 8-inch drop tine, huge, perfect, like typical frame, chocolate rack up against the snow. I got to send this to you, Tommy, because you'll be like, you got to be kidding me. And so at that point I'm like, Dad, I got to go. I got to record this. So I ended up recording it, and I knew it was a 200-inch deer right there. I'm like, are you kidding?
Wow.
So I told my dad, I'm like, Dad, I'm looking at the biggest deer of my life. He goes, there's no way you're looking at the biggest deer of your life. You just killed the biggest deer of your life. I said, Dad,
yeah,
I'm telling you, he is an absolute giant. Filmed him, sent him the video. He's like, you've got to be kidding me. So, again, we're getting back into the fishing season, you know. Like, the winter goes past. I can't really focus on deer hunting. I'm done. You know, one buck limit here in the state of Ohio. And I'm glad they do that, because it's why we have what we have here. It's a special place. But, you know, as I, you know, kind of go through the, you know, the season, we're fishing, we're, you know, busting our butts, traveling around, coming back home, running the landscape company. And September rolls around, and I start getting a little bug at my, you know, my tail. And I'm like, you know what, I need to get some cameras out. So I go out there, and I ended up, you know, landing some permission to put some cameras up. I said, I don't even need to hunt. Just need to put some cameras up. And I'm down in this little creek bottom, put a camera on a tree, main creek crossing, you know, on a funnel. Walk down the creek about 100 yards. I'm hanging the next camera up, and my phone goes off. I got a thumbnail in the corner of my phone that goes off. And there's an absolute giant standing not even 100 yards away from me.
Wow.
And I'm like, you have got it's been 5 minutes. And I'm like, oh my God. And I click, and it's like 170 some inch deer, just standing like right down from me. Like, wow, unreal. So I ended up hanging I hung a ton of cameras up, you know, throughout September and October, really trying to find the drop time. And all I was getting was, I mean, I was getting a bunch of, you know, smaller bucks, 130s, and, you know, ended up this 170, I'm going to say he was a 175. He was just showing up routinely. We called him One Eye because one of his eyes, you could tell, was just, you know, gouged out. And I couldn't find the deer I was after. Well, I ended up going and knocking on another door and got permission from a guy across the street. And as soon as I got over there, we ended up, you know, hitting it off. And I said, yeah, can I just put a camera up? And he goes, camera? He goes, why don't you just hunt? I got so many deer here. He's like, give it a shot. I said, all right, well, if you don't mind. So he ended up signing the slip for me right there. hung a camera up, and I figured I'd come back in a few days and get down into his little area and really get some cameras rolling to see if we could find him. 3 days later, probably, I'm standing in my parents' living room, and this deer is standing. I get a little thumbnail again in the corner of my phone, and I can see the drop tine, and I'm like, are you kidding me? And I ended up, the words that probably came out of my mouth at that moment was like, oh my God, he was bigger than he was the first time I got a photo of him. He's standing there back and forth, you know, just dogging these does for probably 30 minutes the day prior. And I didn't have it on immediate. I had it like transferring at like 10 a.m. the next day. So at 4:30 the day prior, this deer, we just got a snow on the ground, and he's just running these does back and forth, you know. Probably around the 7th, 8th of November, I'd have to really check that. But so get all these photos of him. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I end up getting in there, hanging a set, hanging a few more cameras. I have to go in. I've got to harvest a couple does to be able to be allowed to harvest a buck in this town that I'm hunting. So I immediately have to go in and I get two does just, you know, back to back, get them out of the way. And luckily I didn't see him until then, but do that. And then it's on, we're getting into it, and it's about to go down. So, did not get any more photos of him, but I knew he was there, and I knew the way the property set up, I had a really good feeling of how this was all going to go. So,
yeah, so this is 100% the one you're after. You don't care about these other, even if it was a 170, your sights are set on his big drop time.
I literally was almost going to go, you know, put that 170 on the ground, and that camera sent me that photo, and that was that. So, you know, so we're basically, that's it, man. We're almost to the good stuff. So
yeah, dude, it's about to go down on number two, man. Number two 200 is about to go down, folks. So stick around. We're gonna hear the rest of the story on how it went down for big drop time number two 200 incher right after this, right here on Outdoor America. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. Here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
Back again with yet another dramatic story of number two 200 inch from Mr. Randy Kukral himself. Randy, how did this go down, man? I can't wait to hear this.
I'm ready to get back into it. So, man, it is like, we just, you know, to give a quick recap, we just, you know, we got photos of this deer a few days prior. We ended up shooting a couple does in this town that we had to, you know, we had to harvest a couple does before a buck. And now we're set up. We've got cell cameras all over this property. I've got a, you know, a hang and hunt, you know, stand set up on this big, you know, ridge. And now we're in there, and we only have our sights on one deer, right? And that's the big drop. So, yeah. So basically where it's at, I'm in here, I'm hunting now. I'm basically morning and night. After a few days of, you know, sitting, I think, you know, 2 days, I never got sight of them. I seen some giants. I seen that 175 inch deer. I literally had to let this deer walk past me because I knew what the potential was on this property. And day three, I didn't hunt that morning, but that evening I get in my stand, and it's probably about 2-3 o'clock. We just had a big, you know, it warmed up a little bit. That initial snow was off the ground that where we saw him. You know, he came in running those does on the, you know, on the, probably around the 7th or 8th of the month. And we ended up sitting there. When I say we, it's just me. I probably should have had a cameraman with me, but yeah. I'm sitting there, and I got a couple small bucks kind of working through this area, and, you know, some does, and it's kind of just like a big funnel. And, you know, top of the ridge, a bunch of oaks where they feed. Along the ridge is kind of like a thicket. And then down from there is my stand on the creek bottom. And on the other side of the creek, there's kind of like these, like this green pasture. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, man, like it's such a perfect night. We got a huge cold front coming in. It's just starting to snow right when I get into the stand. And we're supposed to get 4 to 6 inches that night. I mean, it doesn't really set up any better for that, you know, and the rut's going on. Deer are going to be on their feet. And I'm I'm sitting there, I look over, and finally I just see this like huge rack glowing gold. I mean, it was like gold in this thicket, chocolate, but I mean, it was just, I just remember it like just shining in there. And I'm like, oh my Lord, I cannot believe what I'm looking at right now. It was incredible to see how this deer kind of like worked through the woods so methodically and slow. I've never seen a deer move so slow through the woods. It was just crazy. I think it was good because I was able to get my emotions under control. I think it was the hardest thing is like, I'm looking at the biggest deer of my life in front of me. I don't know. So I'm watching this deer and he works towards me and I'm like, all right, he's got two options. It's either one, he walks right along this ridge right in front of me and he presents me with a perfect shot, or two, he hits this Y and he goes and crosses the creek where I don't have a shot right behind me. And I'm like,
right.
You know, hopefully he makes the right decision. Well, of course, deer doing deer things. He is getting ready to go across. He's sitting on top of this little ridge and he's going to drop down across this creek and I'll probably, you know, never see him again that day. And I ended up, he hits the top of that thing and I'm like, oh my God, he's out of here. So I hit him. He's probably, at this point, he's probably like 40 yards out, 50 yards. I hit him with a couple light grunts and kind of blow him the other direction. And as soon as I do that, he kind of stops, looks over his back so slowly. He's a top dog, man. He just slowly and just kind of goes, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
And he looks up toward the ridge and then he slowly turns around and he just started working his way up there. And as he's coming through this thicket, I've got a couple like, you know, really nice lanes cut. And then there's this one spot under these beech trees. It was just like perfectly wide open. And, he ended up getting himself in there and literally gave me a 20, 22 yard shot probably. And I absolutely drill this deer. He runs about 70 yards and then kind of just stops, looks around and just starts walking away. What just happened? You know, so he just starts walking away and he kind of just slowly fades into this thicket and I can't see him anymore. And I'm like, oh my God, I drilled him. I smoked him. Like did the,
yeah.
Did something malfunction, you know, did a broadhead not open? I don't know. You know, all these things start running through my mind. I'm like, well, I can't, you know, go pressure him. So at this point, he's walking away and I'm just like, what do I do? So I ended up getting down and I go down and I check my arrow and there's blood everywhere. I've got bubbles on my arrow and that gave me a little bit of peace of mind. Even though he walked away, I'm like, all right, well, he was hurting real bad, tail down. Like he's got to be piled up over there. So I go back up, grab everything out of my stand. At this point, it's snowing pretty good. I get up to the top of this ridge with my binos and I'm like, maybe I can just see him. You know, I don't want to go down into here and like bump him. So I'm like sneaking around. And at that point, I can't see him. I'm like, maybe he's tucked up in a log or something. So I just remember a few days earlier, I was on Instagram and I saw this guy in the Ohio area that was doing this thing called drone deer recovery. And I ended up reaching out and ended up meeting this guy named Mike. And I want to get into this a little bit. And it was a good lesson for me because I see a lot of guys really get so excited and amped up and they push these deer into the next county when they go to track them. And, you know, they're just not ready. And if you would just let them do their thing and bed down, they would never move. But I had to make something happen with this snow coming in, 4 to 6 inches of snow. It would have covered up my blood trail 100%. So I give this guy a call and I'm like, look, I just shot an absolute giant deer, well over 200 inches. I need you here as soon as possible. And he said, well, you know, we got a bunch of people calling. I said, look, I need you here as soon as possible. You name the price. Just get here. 2 hours later, this guy shows up and I'm like giving him the rundown, telling him the story. We do a little like video because he's like, man, if this happens, like we gotta record this. So actually there's a good video out on YouTube with that, drone deer recovery. Anyways, so we ended up flying this thing up and I said, look, I think he's right here. He throws this thing up in the air and literally turns the infrared on and the deer's just laying there. Things flying in a blizzard, and I couldn't believe it, man. He turns the spotlight on, and literally was like a daylight image of this deer, you know, just piled up, laying in a treetop, in the top of the log. That's why I couldn't see him with my binos. And he's piled up right there, and it was what I learned is, you know, a tracking dog, all that stuff is awesome, but the ability to put this thing in the air and him to fly over and confirm the deer was expired before I went down there and bumped him was the best thing I could have ever done. Because with that much snow coming in, you're going to lose your, you're going to lose your blood trail.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. That deer turned into, we ended up going and getting him scored. I took him down to Toby Hughes with Buckmasters down near Columbus, Ohio. And he ended up scoring him at busted up. He broke off a huge 10-inch eye guard and a bunch of, on the back of his brows, his intermediate tines he had growing. Ended up getting 232 inches out of that deer with 14 inches off of that drop time.
Oh, my gosh, dude. 230. Golly.
We guessed him at about 250, 249, 250 with everything.
Wow. So that's number two right there as far as your, number two of the trifecta as far as your 200 inches. And now they just keep getting bigger. They keep getting bigger. Does this one just have one drop tine or two drop tines?
Well, it's got one big. It was a 12-inch with a little bit of like a split kind of palmation at the end. So it's 12 inches with a 2-inch, like 2 inches of palmation at the bottom. I ended up getting almost 14 inches out of it.
We got one more to talk about that I want to pick your brain a little bit. Stick around. We'll be right back with the next 200 from Randy Cookerall right here on Outdoor America.
This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. More with Tommy Bench after this. This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Summit Finance Group. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
We are back with Randy Cookerall with the trifecta 200 inch. Randy, let's get right into it, man. We got number one, number two down. It just keeps getting bigger with a big giant drop tine. How's number three play out?
Well, at this point, it really is one of those things you think, man, I can never do this again. Like you pulled off the back to back, and I know in the state of Ohio, there's only one or two guys that have ever done that. And everyone's like, well, can you do it again? And I'm like, maybe, And I had a couple things up my sleeve at that point. It was November when I finally had this one on the ground, so. I'm already thinking a season ahead. I ended up having a couple deer that I really wanted to focus on this, in the 2023 season. One ended up, during 22, he was probably around 215 inches. And then I ended up having another one that was probably in the 90s that I knew was going to be a giant really close to home, probably within 30 minutes of my house. And I really wanted to focus on that deer. So I spent the entire summer focused on that deer, mineral sites, 30 cameras on them, just cell cameras staying out of these areas. And it ended up, we got through velvet. During velvet, right. Probably August, it was August, and someone posted a picture of the deer I was after on Facebook, and it kind of turned into like a man. I mean, the guy ended up deleting the post, thank God, but, it kind of turned into one of those viral things, and everyone wanted to, where this deer was. And the guy had people sitting in his driveway asking for waypoints. And anyway, so
jeez.
The deer ends up breaking off. I'm going to give you the short version of this, but he breaks off his G2 as soon as he rubs his velvet off. And I'm like, at this point, I thought he was like 205, 207. I'm like, I'm not even going to chance this. Like, there's no way I'm chasing this deer. As of right now, he broke off his entire right main beam from his brow. Right, he still has his brows, his big split brows, but he mm-hmm. broke off his entire right main beam. His left G2 is broken off. I got pictures of him even last night. I got photos of him. So he's a stud. I'm just trying to baby him right now. But, getting into that, I am switching gears. I'm like, I got to find another deer. And I ended up, there was a 215-inch deer about 2.5 hours west of me. And I ended up calling a buddy. I said, what do you think about this? He's like, dude, I'll never have an opportunity at that deer. He comes into my property at night. If you want to come out here and, put some cameras up, you think you can get it done? If anyone can do it, it's you. And I'm like, well, thanks, dude. But, it has to all line up. I'm like, let's see what happens. I put these cameras up, and literally right away, I'm getting photos of this deer. But it's all between, like, I don't know. It's nocturnal, At 11 o'clock, he'd be on the property. He'd leave the property and run across this county road at 5 a.m., 6 a.m., right before sunup. And it's like, what the heck? So I end up getting in there, and I ended up not doing a little door knocking after I'd hunted it a few times. I did some all day sits right around Halloween. Tons of deer running down through this bottom, huge scrape line. I had a feeling when I set up all these cameras in there in October that I'd get them, and I did, but it was just all night. So I backtracked them. across the road, went and did some door knocking, and I got three yeses out of, asking four people, I got three yeses, and they were the most important yeses. I thought that he was betting in this one spot in particular, and I got in there, and I set up, you know, another probably 10 of these, you know, cell cameras, and he started showing up in some of the weirdest places that you wouldn't think a deer would be. And I started, you know, the biggest thing I learned about this deer, I knew it was going to be the hardest deer I've ever hunted. And we called him trifecta because if we pulled this off, it'd be number three. The hardest thing about this deer, as I started hunting this area, there were so many hunters. Everyone was trying to hunt this deer. And I didn't realize that until I got across the road. I'd have guys walking into the field, you know, daybreak. They'd walk in, blow all the deer out of the field. I had a guy get out of his stand. Like he was, I guess, hunting 100 yards from me. He got out of his stand 15 minutes before dark. I got bucks out there, you know, sparring and chasing does and just walks to the edge of the field, sees the deer, and just walks right across the center of this green field, blows all the deer out, gets out. I don't know if he's afraid of the dark or what, but I don't know. He might've been late for a date. I have no idea, but he blew this field out. So then I made another adjustment, got away from him. I get in my stand this one morning, you know, a couple days prior to, you know, harvesting this deer. And I got a guy 40 to 50 yards from me, and between sun up and say 9:15 in the morning, he's hit the horn probably 15 times. It's to the point now. I mean, he's got a decoy out, you know, in front of him, and he's on the next property over. I can't do nothing about it. I mean, I'm just at this point, I'm grunting and snort wheezing at him just to try to make him realize, like, well, after I talked to some people in the area, he kind of thought that there was legitimately deer running around on the other side of the creek. So that means he's got to rattle more, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, there was just a ton of pressure on this deer. And what I decided is I had to, you know, the week I ended up, you know, harvesting this deer, I've been living in a hotel room for almost 2 weeks now. On the Monday, I end up hunting till about noon. I get down, I hang a set, and I'm like, I have got to hunt this deer different than any other deer. I know his bedding. I know where he's at. We need to position ourselves. How is this deer going? He's been here forever. I decided I was going to grab one of my Summit sets, and I ended up hanging that up on a tree right on this creek bottom. And, you know, we ended up having to get out of there on Tuesday. We weren't able to hunt, but Wednesday I was able to get right back into there and get after it. And ended up hunting for like the next 3 days straight. And I ended up that next morning getting in the tree. And again, there's pressure all behind me. I got a guy hitting the horns. He's going nuts all morning long. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to shoot this deer. At 9:15, 9:12, I ended up sending a text message to this guy. And I'm like, hey, I'm out here. You know, I sent him a picture of my spot with the creek bottom. And I hit send. And as soon as I look up, this deer standing right in front of me in front of my trail camera. I have no time to react. You can see, I have a photo on my cell cam. There's the deer, and then I'm right above the deer with a phone in my hand and my left hand in my pocket.
Wow.
I literally slide my phone in my pocket, reach for my bow. He walks through this little thicket, and it happens so fast. I literally have a hole the size of a basketball. I stop him, head behind a tree, blow through this deer's shoulder, and I hear him pile up within 90 yards. It was the most fast. It's like we lived for this, you know, we put in all this time, you know, hunting, and then the next thing you know, in a matter of 30 seconds, it goes down. And it's like, it's just one of those things, man. I'm super stoked. Yeah. But, you know, now the chase is over, man. And it's like unbelievable.
Well, here it is, Randy. Three 200 plus inch whitetails in back-to-back-to-back seasons. I mean, what a phenomenal feat that is. And what a great story all three of them were leading up to what you've done. And I cannot wait to see if you're able to pull it off for the fourth time in a row. And Randy, hey, man, sorry we ran out of time so quick, but thanks again for being on the show. And I look forward to getting to hunt with you, going fishing with you.
Thanks for having me on, man. I'd love to get on with you any other time. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, man. We'll have you back again. Folks, that's all for this week, but man, I hope to see everyone out there chasing after a 200 inch deer or maybe a 5 or 6 pound smallie. Till next week on Outdoor America.
You've been listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Bass Tank, whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it, and by Summit Finance Group. Join us each Saturday morning at 5 a.m. for Outdoor America with Tommy Bench on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Catch up on Outdoor America programs. Listen on demand at 610sports.com weekend programming channel. For Tommy Bench, this is Mark Miller. Thanks for listening to Outdoor America and have a great weekend.